yesterday, as I was praying in the upper room, God laid it upon my heart to go to Matthew 5, 6. If you open your Bible there with me. The Bible said, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." First of all, I want to say tonight, there needs to be an effort on our part to meet with God. God doesn't just accidentally pass by. We looked at two things. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And we said somewhere in this camp meeting, God is going to cause Himself to pass by. And when He does, He's going to fill. He's going to fill you with blessings. He's going to fill you with anointing. God is going to cause Himself to pass by. Last night we looked at Moses as he knelt down in the cleft of the rock and God caused Himself to pass by. Moses seen the backside of God. And I say God is going to pass by sometime in this camp meeting. We looked last night, yesterday morning, at the word filled, and last night at the word blessed. Blessed means happy. There is an outcome involved in meeting with God. You're happy in the Lord. God's people struggle with happiness. Amen. We ought to be the happiest people on the face of this earth. Amen. If you can't think of any other reason, then remember this. You're the one leaving. Amen. Amen. The Antichrist is going to have to try to put the pieces together. We're leaving out of here. So take your credit cards and charge them. Run them up, buy new cars, bless God. We're leaving out of here, amen. Well, tonight I want to look at that verse again. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst. Today I looked at my Bible and that word thirst, I didn't know Brother Lawrence would call on me, but I wanted to be prepared in my own heart. And to be thirsty is to have the complete human depravity of man. To be at the point where you just cannot take another step unless you have a cool drink of water. You come to that place of depravity and you do anything. You'd take your fingers and you would dig a hole in the ground if you knew that 3 or 4 feet of digging would produce water. You would do anything. If there was a stream running down that cattle urinated in and you knew that you was going to die if you couldn't drink, you would may even kneel down and drink out of that water. It's being completely deprived and being in that position of death, near death. And I would to God tonight that we would get in that position as we thirst for the good things of God.
Yes.
It's no accident that God causes Himself to pass by. It's on purpose. And it's on purpose because people get thirsty for God. And they come to the place where they say, I'm not going to live another day unless God blesses me in this service. And you deprive yourself. Can I say, as we look at that word deprive, the first thing I think about is fasting and praying. How long has it been since you gave up a meal?
Yeah, come on.
How long has it been since you got so thirsty that you give up a drink of water just to get down on your knees and call on the God of heaven? It's only that kind of a thirst that is going to cause God to pass by our way. And when He does, He'll bless us. And I'm expecting it, amen. And I just want to encourage you to look at that verse one more time in your Bible. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I'd like to look at that word shall tomorrow if we have time. Shall. Because you can mark her down. It's going to happen.
Sure. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Lawrence.
That's good. That's good, Brother Ben.
Thank you, Brother Hatfield. I appreciate that. I believe exactly what He has given to us is what we need if we're going to have a revival. We're going to have to want it. We're going to have to desire it, hunger, thirst after it, and then He shall. We look forward to that tomorrow. Well, it's good to have Brother Roark with us tonight. It's always good to have Brother Kennan. Been good friends for a number of years. We appreciate his ministry. He don't know how to get here, but has a hard time making the right turns. He calls me this afternoon. He said, I don't know where I am. I said, I don't know either. He said, I'm at a place that said, I'm right across from Sleep Inn. I have no idea where Sleep Inn is. I said, well, you're not in Madisonville. And he said, I'm going to find out where I am and find out how to get where you are. And so he hangs up, and I get on. I said, give me the closest Sleep Inn, Owensboro. He sort of missed his exit to get on West Kentucky, goes Owensboro, comes across Audubon, comes down, but he got here.
Amen.
Praise
sure.
the Lord. Amen. Brother Kennan, you come tonight and preach the Word of God. Thank you for being here. Love you, brother.
Love you
great
too.
Friend. Amen. God bless you.
I told him that when I told him I was lost, he should have said, repent! I was talking on the phone. I was talking on the phone all after I got to Bowling Green. I got signal again, and I was just talking away. I didn't even hook my GPS up. I thought, well, I know the way down there. I couldn't believe I got lost, but I did. Praise God, we made it though. I'm glad heaven ain't hard to get to. Amen. Amen. You don't have to have a GPS to get to heaven. All you got to have is Jesus. Amen. It's an honor to be here. And it's always a privilege to be in this place. And I do appreciate the friendship of Grace Baptist Church and your pastor and his family. Been good to me. For many years, and I thank God our paths have crossed. Brother Benny, it's good to see you again. I appreciate those wonderful thoughts, and boy, they're right on target. And I tell you, God's Word is just as real today as it was the day that the author penned it. It's just as real. It's us that's changed. I'm glad God don't never change. It's good to see my good friend Tondra. Love him. Appreciate him. Go back a long ways. I respect him and I appreciate him. Good to have him tonight. Good to see everybody. Amen. I'm surprised the Lord didn't come today. I was coming down the road looking into the heavens, and I said, boy, that cloud right over there might be the one. Did you ever go down the road thinking about that? Yeah, that right over there might be the one he may come back on. That's right. And I know, and I ain't drunk anything, so don't worry, I'm all right. We need to get a little excited, amen? We've been dead long enough. Right, God, you don't be dead, go down to the funeral home. They're dead down there.
Yeah.
That's right. Down there. You got to be careful when you go up north. Them Yankees, they don't know how us Southerns talk. They make fun of me. But anyway, Joel chapter 2. I'm reminded of that husband that got up out of the recliner that night. And he said, I'm going to go to the kitchen, get me something. He said to his wife, would you like anything? She said, well, in fact, I would. She said, I'd like to have a scoop of ice cream. He said, all right, ice cream. She said, you better write that down. You'll forget it. He said, ice cream. I've got it. He said, you want anything else besides that? Yeah, I'd like to have two or three strawberries on top of that. All right, ice cream. Two or three strawberries on top of that. Got that. She said, you better write it down. You'll forget it. He said, now, don't insult me. I know what you want. You want a scoop of ice cream, two or three strawberries. I got it. He says, anything else? Yeah, one other thing. I'd like to have one spoonful of whipped cream on that ice cream and them two or three strawberries. All right. One scoop of ice cream, two or three strawberries, one spoonful of whipped cream. Got it. She said, you better write it down. You'll forget it. He said, I've got it. I'll bring it back in a minute. He was gone 25 minutes. Came back, had a whole plate full of scrambled eggs and bacon. And she looked at him like a fool and said, I told you to write it down. You forgot my toast. I thought about that when I forgot which way I should have turned today. I was very careful about that. Everybody all right? Joel chapter 2. Let's stand if you can, if you're able, in honor to the reading of the Word of God. Verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth them before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and of horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the top of mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pain. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks, neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in at the widow's like a thief, windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining.
And the Lord shall utter His voice before His army. For His camp is very great, for He is strong that executeth His word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even unto me with all of your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth Him of the evil. Who knoweth if He will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind Him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? I want to pivot off of verse 12. Therefore also now, our Father, I pray that You would anoint us tonight with Your Holy Spirit. God, I can't preach if You don't help me. God, help me to preach as a dying man to dying people. God, would You awake us tonight to the reality and condition that we're in this world. Lord, we realize that soon the coming of the Lord will come. And Lord, this thing will all be over. I pray You'd move upon us in these days. Stir our hearts. Stir the church. And God, give us that, Lord, we cannot do for ourselves. And when it's all said and done, we'll bow our heads to blood-stained feet of our blessed Redeemer, giving Him the praise, the honor, and the glory that's due Him. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open here to Joel chapter 2. God is giving Israel here this great revelation by the mouth of the prophet Joel. He's telling them of that horrible day and that time that my friend will come upon this earth. It's called the Great Day of the Lord. It is both a near and a far a prophetic word. In other words, Israel many times had turned their back on God, and God turned them over to their enemies. Why? Because Israel often had went away from the Lord, and had forsaken the God of heaven. And they had went a-whoring after other gods, and they had committed spiritual adultery. They in fact had worshipped many gods in the land of Canaan. They even took their children to the threshold of the god of Molech and offered their children in the flames of the fire. They even gave up their wives as prostitutes upon the altars of profane pagan gods. Now these are God's people, the ones that were given the law by Moses, the ones that were given the word by the prophets. I mean, these are God's people. They had seen the mighty hand of God. Their fathers had been led out of bondage and slavery in Egypt, and they saw the waters stand up in the Red Sea while their families crossed over on dry land. And yet their clothes never wore out in that wilderness journeys, and their shoes never wore out. They were led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. The Bible said they were fed manna that came down out of heaven every morning. They drank water out of a rock. God had sustained them and showed them His power and His great glory. But yet in the midst of all of that, they had disobeyed and forsaken and disregarded and dishonored the God that had rescued them out of bondage and slavery. And time again, God would have to show His power to His people by turning them over to their enemies. God would have to send out, in essence, a wake-up call. And that's what I want to preach about tonight. My heart is so burdened in these days. My heart is so moved as a preacher and as a man of God that oh, how we need in this generation to wake up to the things that God is trying to show us. And I find it here in verse 12 where Joel said, "Therefore also now." Now what does that mean? In other words, because of this, because of these words that I've given you, because of what I have told you in these verses, He said, "Therefore also now." He is saying, now, before you're turned over to your enemies, before, my friend, this time comes upon you and your family and your children. It was a wake-up call. It was a sit-up and pay-attention prophecy. It's what Joel, in actual reality, was giving them. In other words, it's a wake-up time to make corrections and to get things right and to be restored and to repent. It was God's wake-up call to the nation of Israel. And I have thought so often in these last months that I have seen things seem like go in the wrong direction. That over the last 40 to 50 years of my life, we have seen so much change in these days and things have taken place. In the 60s, my friend, they took prayer out of schools. And my friend, in 1973, I remember it very well, Roe versus Wade, and we said in this nation, the life of the unborn baby is not of any value. And we've killed 50-some million babies, 10 times more than what Hitler killed. And yet it don't disturb us. And my friend, over the last 14 months since 9/11, my friend, I believe with all of my heart, God is trying to wake this nation up, but we won't listen. And God, in His mighty and power, is trying to speak to us, and He's crying out for us to repent. After all, Jesus did tell that religious crowd, "Except you repent, you're going to perish." And I want to tell you tonight, dear friends, the Bible is very clear. Hear what the Word of God says. The Bible said the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. He said all nations that forget God. It's not enough to have once known God in this nation. It's not enough to know that we've been founded upon Judeo-Christian ethics. It's not enough to know that we have been described as a Christian nation. It's not enough tonight to know that we have played the part of whoring upon God. But if we be honest with ourselves tonight as a nation, we have turned our back on God today. And my friend, we've allowed every foul bird of religion to creep into these United States. And we're nothing more today than a melting pot of polytheism, the worship of many gods, and false gods in that. And my friend, this country don't even seem to recognize the true God anymore. Amen. Our land today is full of apostasy. And the land today that we know as a Christian nation rejects God, rejects the teachings of the Bible, the principles of the Word of God, the commandments of God. They reject God, and America's gone astray from her foundation, from her biblical roots, from her biblical teachings that the Bible gives. And the Bible said, if the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? I believe we as a nation today, my friend, are numbered. I believe we're weighed in the balances and we're going to be found wanting. And I want to declare tonight, as a 62-year-old preacher, I want you to know that American exceptionalism is fading today. My friend, we're on the brink. It's on the brink of extinction. You say, why, preacher? I'll tell you exactly why. We have forgotten God. My friend, listen, we had American exceptionalism when morality meant something in this nation, when the name of God meant something and it was honored, when prayer and Bible reading was read in the public school system, when commandments meant something in the courthouse and in the White House, and when God's name meant something and was revered and reverent in your house and in my house. But the fact of the matter is, we've a long ways from that place tonight. And oh, listen, it has become a devastating consequences to where we are and to where we're going. The Bible speaks here of God's impending judgment and wrath that's going to come upon the nation that forget God. Can I say tonight, and you'll agree, judgment is coming. It's just a matter of time. The Bible said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever we sow, that shall we also reap. I didn't get around to finishing what I started a while ago. My mind running here and there. The 63, we took prayer out of school. In 73, we started committing abortions. And in the 80s, we took the commandments out of school. And now, my friend, look where we're at today. We don't even know what a traditional family is no more. Amen. Boy, we're in bad shape in this nation. But my friend, listen. It's a wake-up call. Therefore also now, the day of the Lord, I'm convinced, is just on the horizon. And Joel gives us three thoughts here tonight. Three things that we need to wake up to. We need to wake up. First of all, notice in verse 1, we need to wake up to reality. We need to wake up to reality. He said, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. That is, in the camp of God, amongst the people of God. He said, sound an alarm, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. In other words, the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, God's going to do exactly what He said He was going to do. We in America today are living as if there is no tomorrow, that there is no day of reckoning, that there is no day of judgment, that there is no day of accounting. But I remind us, God hath appointed the day in which He would judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a just God. Judgment is coming. The Bible is very clear. God is going to judge the world in righteousness. Whose righteousness? His righteousness. Because He will be glorified. But the sad tragedy is, I believe the church has become somewhat a sleeping giant. You say, why do you say that, Brother Ken? Well, we come to church. We come in. We sit down. We sing our songs. We listen to the message. We get up and we leave. And yet many times we're not affected. We're not changed. We're not altered. We're not moved. We're not stirred. And my friend, God is going to keep His Word. The Lord is God, and He does not change. God said, if you honor me, I'll honor you. If you dishonor me, God said, I'll dishonor you. My friend, every prophecy that God has ever given in this Bible has come true, is coming true, or it will come true. We need to wake up to the reality that the world one day is going to be judged, and God is warning us and sounding forth the clarion call. Wake up, therefore, also now. I believe with all my heart, we as Americans, now hear me, we as Americans are standing at the crossroads of reality. We're standing at the tipping point. I don't know what you all got down here in Western Kentucky, but just a few days ago on our Lexington News Channel, they told us that this thing that's involved with Kim Davis, the county court clerk in Rowan County, my friend who stood on her convictions and would not issue licenses to same-sex marriage. I commend her for her stand. She may be apostolic, but I commend her for her stand. Thank God she's got the guts to stand. Our governor ain't got the guts to stand. Amen. He could have stood. He belongs to a church right down the road down here. And if you want to, get the tape and give it to him. I don't care for him hearing this. Truth's the truth. We need to wake up. But the poll was given. 47% is all that believes that it was good she stood on her convictions. 50-some percent believe she should have done her job, and the others, they didn't know what they really felt like. In other words, we're at the crossroads in this nation. It's no longer the majority standing for what's right. My friend, we're at a critical point in this country. Now listen to me. Don't get mad at me. We're at a tipping point. We're at a critical juncture. And the ground that we're standing upon is shifting beneath us. You see, the answer to America's problems is not, my friend, in the government. It's in God. It's not in the politician. It's in the Prince of Peace. It's not in Washington. It's in this Word. That's where our answer is. And my friend, listen, we need to be aware of the magnitude of what's happening in our world today and in our country and in our states and in our community, because it's going to involve you and I. And it's going to involve our kids. But you know what the world is saying? Well, now, everybody needs to be politically correct. Can I tell you what? We better be more concerned about being spiritually correct and being spiritually true and, my friend, being biblically convicted, because things are changing. I tell you, my, how things have changed in my lifetime. If we don't think things are changing at a rapid rate, then we're just really naive, because things are changing. The world that you and I grew up in is no more. Amen. The America that we once knew is no more. The culture, the world's culture that we once was, is no more. It's a different world out there. It's a different society. It's a different nation. It's a different civilization. And in the Bible, God gives warnings after warnings to the nation of Israel. If you don't turn, then you will be carried off by your enemies. Could it be, my friend, that the warnings that are appearing in these days are like the warnings that God gave the nation of Israel in the days of Elijah? It was days of apostasy. It was days of moral decline. And all this, and the nation of Israel was founded upon the Word of God. They were committed to God, consecrated to God. They were blessed of God. But you know what happened? Exactly what's happened in this nation. They have become, my friend, prosperous. But they have become complacent. And they have become full of apathy. And they've gotten away from God and away from the ways of God. And my friend, they began to drive God out of the public square in the nation of Israel, out of their culture, out of their government, even out of the lives of their own children. And you know what Israel done? They brought in pagan gods, gods of greed, and gods of immorality. And they promoted sexual immorality. They called evil good and good evil. Could it be, my friend, could it be that God has been trying to get our attention 14 years ago? I've learned something. Did you know the same Syrians that came out of Iraq in Bible days and came up and came in and took Israel and carried them off, the enemies, the Syrians, are the same groups that came and did what they done in this nation at 9/11. Could it be that God is trying to give us a wake-up call, trying to get our attention? You see, my friend, as horrible and as horrific as 9/11 was, and it was sad, but that's just a drop in a bucket to what's coming one day. You see, God is saying, wake up. The reality of my word needs to wake you up. In other words, hear. If you have ears to hear, let him hear, the Bible said. All through the book of the Revelation, God said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Oh, listen, we need, Jesus used it in the Olivet Discord in Matthew 24. He said, if you've got ears to hear, you better hear. In other words, we need to wake up to reality. Why, preacher? Because here in verse 2, it was days of darkness. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Can I tell you today, we're living under some dark clouds today spiritually in this nation. I would have never dreamed, Brother Lawrence, that we'd be in the condition that we're in our lifetime. And it's going to get worse. Brother Benny and I were talking before service started. Just as the early church was persecuted, I'm not for sure how close the church is going to get to the tribulation that God will take us out of here. He may leave us and let us go through some persecution. The church at Jerusalem, the church, early church done more for God when they were persecuted. The church today, it's like she's slumbering and asleep and she's not doing nothing for God. It's time we wake up. I don't want Jesus to come and find me not on fire for Him. I want to be on fire for God. I want to do all I can for Him. That's what we ought to, all of us ought to do. Come on. Amen. It was a day of darkness, but all, it was a day of destruction in verses 3 and 5. But all, listen, did you know the Bible says here in verse 5, like the noise of a chariot on the top of the mountain shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people said in battle array. Now, I'm not trying to take this out of context, but I tell you, listen, just a few weeks back, over 1,000 homes burned in California. It's drier in California right now than it's ever been in 1,000 years. You think God might be trying to tell us something? Oh, listen, this liberal media wants to push it off. Did you know they're trying to get a thing passed now that the meteorologists can't say the word? It's a nature of God. They don't even want God's name mentioned in it no more. That's how bad they hate God. I'm going to tell you something. God may be trying in all these disasters and all these tsunamis and all these things that's happening in our atmosphere and the things that's happening around the world. I think we're living in the very last days, and God's trying to get our attention, but we're not listening. It's time to wake up. It's days of darkness, days of destruction. But in verse 6, it's days of desperation. But Joel said in verse 12, therefore also now. But in verse 11, it was days of damnation. Look at it in verse 11. The Lord uttered His voice before His army. He is strong that executeth His word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Can I tell you, there's coming a day when the Son of the living God will come back, and my friend, He'll stand in the valley of Megiddo, and out of His mouth will go a sharp sword, and He'll devour the enemy. It's coming. Judgment's coming, dear friend. Oh, you say, preacher, what do you think God's trying to say to America? I think God's trying to say to all of us, including the church, it's time to wake up to reality. Amen. Secondly, we need to not only wake up to reality here in verse 12, we need to wake up to repentance. Look at it, verse 12. Turn ye even unto me with all of your heart. Can I be honest with you tonight? Don't get mad at me. I just want to get our hearts stirred a little bit. When are we ever going to get serious about the things of God in these days? I mean, honestly. I see it in the area where I'm pastoring. I'm in my 40th year preaching and pastoring. And my heart is troubled. Because number one, I see a lot of people, they're not really serious about serving God. I mean, listen, they think it's a game. Folks, this ain't a game. It ain't a fable. It ain't a fairy tale. It's not a figment of our imagination. What we're doing today in these days is playing games. We're playing church. And oh, listen, it's not a playground. These prophecies are factual. They have come true. They are coming true. And they will come true. And my friend, every word that God says in His book will come to pass. God said, God is not a man that He should lie, nor the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He not said it, and shall He not do it? Hath He not spoken it, and shall He not make it good? God will do what He says He'll do. And Grace Baptist Church, I want to ask us, when are we going to not only wake up to reality, but wake up to repentance? Oh, listen, you can preach your heart out today, and I preach a lot of meetings throughout the year, but I tell you, we're seeing few and few people after the Word of God preached that'll even come to the altar no more. We don't want to come to the altar no more. What's wrong with us? Amen. Now, Brother Arch wants me to go back home tonight. I'm just trying to get us stirred up. Let God, we need to get stirred up. Amen. Amen. Listen, oh, my. Oh, my, listen. God said, if my people, not the prostitutes, not the drunkards, not the gamblers, not the race car spectators, If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, here it is, and turn from their wicked way. That means repent. I believe every time we hear the Word of God, there ought to be a need for us to come and take an inventory of our life and see if God needs to do some washing and God needs to draw us a little closer to Him. I tell you, I can preach my heart out, and I preach it out every Sunday morning, Sunday night. Preach like a wild man. And a lot of times it's four or five all that wants to come. All that bunch standing back there looking at me like a cat at a new gate. Saying, what's wrong with you, preacher? Ain't nothing wrong with me, bless God. What's wrong with you? You need to get right with God. That's what I'm thinking about that bunch. Amen. Hello? Amen. Don't take it personal. I was just trying to tell you how it is at my place. Oh, listen, friend. Listen, turn ye, verse 12, turn ye unto me with all your heart. You say, preacher, how do you do that? Give you two or three thoughts. How do you repent? Well, you repent with sorrow. Look at it in verse 12. He said, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Brother Benny got on it there a while ago. I thought he was going to preach my message. You want me to tell you how you repent? You repent, like the Bible says, with fasting, weeping, and with mourning. You know what? We're spoiled. We're spoiled in this country. I ain't trying to be mean, but we're spoiled. Our kids today's got everything in the world handed to them. They don't even work for it. Do you realize that all of us sitting here tonight are more richer than 90% of the rest of the world? And we're spoiled. How do you know we're spoiled, preacher? While we've got our gadgets, our gizmos, our electronics, my grandchildren's, they on Facebook, MySpace, email, Instagram. They got their iPads, iPods, iPads, iPods, iThis, iThat. It's I. You know what we've done? We've eyed God right out of it. Amen. Hello? Amen. I'm in honor. I get sagged. I told my daughter, I said, worst thing you ever done is got them kids a cell phone. I said, you ought to be whipped yourself. Kids don't need no cell phones at their age. You know why I say that? Well, if you don't want to say that, I'll say that. I walk into a room, hi girls, how y'all doing? I said, girls, hello, how you doing? I have to holler about three times and finally I get their attention. We're spoiled. Come on now. We're spoiled in this generation. I know we are. I see adults. Well, they wear them clothes and they'll say, I'm making a statement now. You see what I can wear? That's about the way it is anymore. Yeah. Now, don't look at me, bless God, like that. Some of you women, you eye these women every time they walk in the door. Well, she's been to Jared's. That's a jewelry place, ain't it? I better watch what I'm saying there. I'm going to get in the flesh. Oh, she'd been to that expensive store. She's trying to make a statement. Why not wait just a minute? What about you rascals sitting here tonight driving that truck? You say, well, now I'll just show everybody there at church what I can drive. I got the big King cab. Hello? Boy, getting quiet in here. Look what kind of house I've got. I'm trying to make a statement with. We're spoiled. In other words, if we're going to repent, we got to do it with sorrow. In other words, repent with sorrow. I want to ask you, when's the last time, Brother Benny said, when's the last time that any of us ever fasted and got a hold of the horns of the altar of God, not for the physical cleansing, but for spiritual cleansing? My friend, when's the last time any of us ever fasted at all? You don't hear people. You don't hear people fasting anymore. When's the last time we sacrificed anything to God? But he said here, weeping. Not only fasting, but with weeping. The Bible said the Lord is nigh to them that are broken heart, and save such that be of a contrite spirit. The sacrifices of God over a broken spirit. In other words, when's the last time? When's the last time, church? I can remember as a boy, after I got saved as a young boy in 1962, I could remember the houses of God used to be filled. And boy, the preaching and the singing would begin. And boy, I can remember them gray-haired moms. They put that hair up in that bun. And I tell you, I've always admired by that way them women could put that hair up in that bun. It looked like it was tighter than a banjo string. If one hair were to flip out, he'd knock your brains out. But them women would come, Brother Pitty. They would, honest God. They'd come and they'd have them hankies. And they'd get down and they'd begin to cry out and call their children name before God. But you don't hear nobody weeping at the altar no more about their lost loved one, about their children that went away, and about their loved ones and their friends. We don't weep no more. Oh, fasting and weeping and mourning. When's the last time you seen anybody shed tears on the altar? Or repent with sorrow. But look here in verse 13. Repent with sincerity. Joel said, by the hand of God, rend your heart and not your garments. That's a thought there. Rend your heart and not your garments. You see, in the days of Israel, Israel had a way of showing how that they would mourn. In other words, they'd shave their head and put sackcloth and ashes on, and they'd tear their garment. We know that's true because that's what Job did. But God says here, rend your heart and not your garment. In other words, I don't care about your outward expression. You know why God don't care about our outward expression? Because the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? You see, we need to rend our hearts and not our garments. Oh, listen. When are we going to get broken over the condition of our nation? Well, is your heart broken over the direction that this nation is going? Is your heart broken tonight over the condition of the church and what it's become today in our generation? Is your heart broken tonight over the conditions of our families? Our families are not what they used to be. You say, what's wrong with the family today? Well, men don't lead with integrity no more. That's right. And women don't submit with loving kindness, and children don't obey their parents. I saw something just the other Sunday at our homecoming. I saw one of our young people, their mother and their daddy was trying to talk to them and correct them, and I saw that teenage daughter turn her back to her father and her mother and would not listen to them. No respect. No respect. My friend, listen. We've thrown out the order that God has got for the family. Children today want to tell their parents what they want to do. Church members tell the preacher what they're going to do. And preachers, sometimes some preachers tell God what they're going to do. That's what we've become. He said, rend your heart. In other words, repent. How? Repent with sorrow. Repent with sincerity. But he said here in verse 14, repent with a sacrifice. He said here, give a meat offering and a drink offering. This kills most churches. It kills my people every time I get on it. But people tell me they love God and they rob God every Lord's day. They don't love God. You love God by what you are willing to give to God. You can't worship without giving, and you can't give without worshiping. Amen. But not only do we need to give our tithes and our offerings to God, we need to give our time and our talents and our testimony. I have testimonies quite often in our church. Sometime during the service, some Sundays I'll miss, but a lot of Sundays, anybody got a testimony? Let's have about three or four testimonies. Come on, stand up, let's testify. Got something you want to say for God? Well, it's like pulling chicken's teeth. You can hardly get a grunt out of most Baptists anymore. Amen. Amen. We are failing. We're robbing God of our testimonies. Hello. You see, my friend, God says the reason that He withholds the blessings from our lives is because we rob Him. We rob Him. I've often thought there's 343 firefighters lost their lives on 9/11. 343. I want to ask you a question. Do you think them 343 firefighters, at the moment those buildings were falling and they knew it, that they cared about that nice vehicle sitting in the driveway at home? That big fancy fishing pole that they had bought, or that new boat that they had bought and never had it out, or had it out one or two times? Do you think they cared about that vacation home, or that new home that they, you think that meant anything to them? I doubt it. What about them 125 that died at the Pentagon? You think all the luxuries of life mean anything to them at the moment when that plane hit that Pentagon and it went through them offices and it literally burned some of them people alive? You think they cared about their luxuries? You think them people that died in that plane crash in the field of Pennsylvania, you think that what they had as far as luxuries of this world, that it meant anything to them? What I'm trying to say is this. The devil's got a funny way of dangling the trinkets of this world and, my friend, getting our minds off of what's important. And that is the kingdom of God. People are dying and going to hell. And people are going to the judgment of God. And we seem to care more about our toys and our luxuries than we do about the things of God. We need to wake up. Wake up to reality. Wake up to repentance. And lastly, and I'm closing, I won't be long, we need to wake up to revival. Look at it here in verses 15 and 16. Wake up to revival. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children. Those that suck the breast, that means the babies. And let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. In other words, it's time to not let the things of the world get in the place of coming and worshiping God. And that's what we've done. I've got so many Sunday morning Christians back home, it ain't even funny. They won't come back on Sunday night. And they won't never come back on Wednesday night. But you can have a big dinner, have a full course meal, chicken, turkey, all the trimming. Bless God, they come out of the woodwork. They won't come and eat, but they won't come and hear the Word of God. Hey, something ain't right somewhere. We need revival. You know what's wrong? The light's been snuffed out. The light's been snuffed out. When I read the book of the Revelation, chapter 2 and chapter 3, and those seven churches, God said to them seven churches, or Jesus said to them seven churches, same thing over and over again. Remember, remember what I've done for you. Remember, and not only that, but repent. Remember, repent, and return. Did you know that's how you can experience revival? By remembering what God did for you back there. And repent that you've gotten away from Him. And return back to Him. You'll have revival. You know, I'm amazed after all these years of studying the Bible. I've never been to Europe where those seven churches were located. Love to have went. Love to have seen. But I have read enough to know that there is no evidence of the church that was there when John wrote the letters to them. There's nothing to remind us. It's all gone. In fact, I've read enough to know that that whole country where the seven churches was located is now populated with Muslims. It's mostly Muslims. You're saying, now, preacher, don't get on them Muslims. And I'm going to tell you, it's a hate religion. It's a hate religion that considers you and I an infidel, and were worthy to be slaughtered. And that's what they do. The light was snuffed out of those seven churches. Jesus said, repent. Repent before the light goes out. It's time to wake up. We need to wake up in this day. I am surprised the Lord hadn't already come. I believe if we knew how close it is, we'd get some things straight with God in these churches across America. I want to challenge us tonight. It's time to wake up. Wake up to reality. Wake up to repentance and wake up to revival. Our Father,